What's up, everybody? My name is Athena, and you're here to listen to Vanished in the Valley. Today, we are going to talk about some alien shit. We are also going to talk about some WikiLeaks / Julian Assange shit. We also have to talk about fucking bridge troll Anthony Fauci. So, sit back, get ready for this. Let's start with that little bridge troll fuck. I found this information on a Twitter account. It's at COVID Select, which basically is the Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic. Check this out, guys. The bridge troll, Anthony Fauci, will testify publicly for the first time since he's retired from public service. That'll be Monday, June 3rd, 2024. So they actually posted on their Twitter page this letter from the Congress of the United States. I'll read it for you guys. Dear Dr. Fauci, you are a cunt. Just kidding. Okay. Dear Anthony Fauci, on November 3rd, 2023, the Select Subcommittee sent you a letter memorializing the agreement for your testimony. This agreement included 2 days of transcribed interviews and a public hearing. Accordingly, we look forward to your testimony at a public hearing on June 3rd, 2024. In accordance with all applicable rules, an invitation will follow. We thank you for your willingness to testify and look forward to your testimony. And it is signed by Brad Winstrup, who is the chairman of the Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic. Check this part out. They posted this on Twitter on April 18th, 2024. The post starts off by saying, "Lying to Congress is a crime." At Echo Health NYC, President Dr. Peter Daszak told us he intended to conduct risky gain-of-function research in North Carolina. However, recent evidence suggests he actually planned to conduct the research in Wuhan. And just a little side note here, Peter Daszak will be appearing before the COVID Select Subcommittee for a public hearing. They'll be discussing COVID-19 origins, gain-of-function research, Wuhan Institute of Virology, and the bridge troll himself, Anthony Fauci. This is going to happen May 1st at 10 a.m. That's Eastern time. So what do you guys think? Do you think these motherfuckers are actually going to be held accountable? That anything is going to come out in these hearings that anyone with a brain or anyone who's just like fucking been paying attention for the last 4 years doesn't already know? I doubt it. It will be interesting to see what happens, but I guarantee you fucking bridge troll's going to get in there and lie and be smug just like he was during the first hearing. And Peter Daszak, that motherfucker, also needs to be charged with crimes against humanity and strung up in a tree. Someone else that needs to definitely be investigated and held accountable is a man named Nathan Wolf. This motherfucker, let's just go down a tiny little rabbit hole on this guy just for a minute. He had connections to DARPA. He also worked for Echo Health Alliance, the Gates Foundation, and he ran the COVID-19 creation operation with Peter Daszak. Another little interesting fact about Nathan Wolf is that he was Hunter Biden's Ukraine biolab partner. And guess who Nathan Wolf was BFFs with? Ghislaine Maxwell. Biden and Wolf were basically funding and assisting a company responsible for those biolabs that were found in Ukraine after Russia first invaded. You know, the ones that the United States government completely denied they had until some crazy conspiracy theorist showed them the motherfucking receipts on their own government website. Hunter Biden had a firm called Rosemont Seneca. I did an episode about this shit days ago, but I'll just kind of give you guys a refresher course. So Rosemont Seneca invested $500,000 in Metabiota, which was the company setting up the Ukrainian biolabs. Hunter Biden was acting as an unofficial lobbyist and fundraiser for Metabiota, reportedly finding millions of dollars for the company that engaged in pathogen experiments in the period when Hunter Biden's father, President Brandon, was vice president. And I don't know if you guys all remember when this whole bullshit Ukraine shit kicked off, but most Western countries just hopped on board with, hey, let's fucking help Ukraine. Fuck all that. So let's get a little background about Metabiota. It was founded in San Francisco by none other than Nathan Wolf. Until recently, Nathan Wolf served as Metabiota's chairman and chief executive officer. Now, this is where we get into some Ghislaine Maxwell shit. Nathan Wolf was actually the fool that announced the Terramar Project. And if you don't know about Terramar, that was a organization that Ghislaine Maxwell started. And it's sketchy as fuck. I actually did an episode on that too. But they were just talking about how this organization is a nonprofit and it's just an environmental organization. It has nothing to do with transporting fucking sex trafficking victims. It was all sketchy as fuck. Their money situation never made any sense, and I don't think it really ever kicked off. According to Ghislaine, Terramar considers itself an independent state. And if you look at their members, the list includes Rockefellers, Rothschilds, the Sacklers, the Soros family, and like I was saying earlier, Nathan fucking Wolf, the UN Office of Partnerships Director Amir Dosal, and two members of his staff, the Clinton Global Initiative co-founder Richard Attias, Interactive Corp Chair Barry Diller, Activision Blizzard CEO Bobby Kotick, and a bunch of other fucking people. If you want to go down the rabbit hole on Terramar, look back in the episodes probably about a year and a half ago or so, and I break down everything that seemed to be going on with this fucked up little organization run by convicted sex trafficker Ghislaine Maxwell. But anyway, let's get back to Nathan Wolf. So like I was just saying, he was the one that announced the whole Terramar project, and he did this for Ghislaine. And it was at a TED Talk. Funny little side note, the project was supposedly about saving the oceans. Although, if you take a look at the oceans lately, they're literally littered with over a billion Kabobo face masks. And that was just in the year 2020. So we have Hunter Biden involved. We have Nathan Wolf involved. Ghislaine Maxwell, the bridge troll, Anthony Fauci, Peter Daszak, and probably many, many other people. Just based upon that fact, I find it very hard to believe that anyone like Peter Daszak or the bridge troll will ever be held accountable. I mean, maybe like in 50 years, the general public will finally start to like look back at history and be like, oh, wow, the bridge troll really wasn't trying to help us all out. He actually helped create this nightmare. I will definitely check out these hearings as they go down. And again, Peter Daszak's is going to happen May 1st, and the bridge trolls will be June 3rd. So check it out, guys. See what more lies these twats try to spew out to the American public and Congress. And we'll watch two fucking demons who committed crimes against humanity get away scot-free. I think a major reason we won't see any prosecutions of those twats, and this is all coming from former Echo Health Alliance VP Dr. Andrew Huff, made a legal declaration confirming that Echo Health was funded by Bill Gates, the CIA, and that was through InQtel, and that Peter Daszak told him he was working for the CIA. All of these factors are just kind of pointing to, hey, these motherfuckers are never going to be convicted for any type of crime regarding the whole Kabobo PSYOP. Another fun little side note was like about a week ago, I was reading some emails that had been FOIA'd, and they were emails to and from different FBI agents. Well, apparently, way back when the Kabobo shit was going down, there was a whistleblower that was trying to get the FBI to understand that this was not some naturally occurring virus that happened because some fucking Asian dude ate a bat or some bullshit like that. He met with these agents multiple times. He brought evidence. He brought all kinds of shit. But the FBI was just like, okay, let's just stick our fingers up our ass and sit on this information and not really do anything. Let's not go after anyone that perpetrated this massive crime on all of humanity. Fucking Fed boys seriously need to get fucked. All right, you guys, it's change of subject time. We need to get into some alien shit. So we're going to be talking about a couple different things. Think back last year, just about a year, April 30th, 2023, there was that family in Vegas that witnessed some kind of crazy object falling from the sky. Angel Kenmore was with his brother and his father working on a car when they spotted this fucking thing falling from the sky. So they watch this shit dropping down and it basically crashes not too far from where Angel and his family were hanging out. Angel actually describes this like shock wave type thing, and it caused his vision to go blurry, and all he could see was his own yard. He says he also heard thousands of steps around him, which disappeared seconds later. Then check this shit out. It gets even more crazy. Angel actually called the police and said there were strange figures at his house, like in his backyard, and he filmed it. He described the figures as almost 9 feet tall. They had big eyes, and these motherfuckers were watching him. Angel straight up told the dispatcher, he's like, look, I am not joking around. I'm not fucking crazy. I'm looking at this right now. The police were sent to their house, and upon arriving at the scene, the camera images clearly capture a bright object in the sky. So this is actually fucking like dash cam footage from the cops. And it's corroborating this thing falling from the sky. Now check this part out. A guy named Scott Roeder, who is a renowned crime scene evidence expert, analyzed the film. So there's two different films I'm talking about. There is the dash cam, but then Angel and his family actually recorded this shit. Roeder, who owns and operates the Evidence Room, has over 30 years experience in helping to reconstruct crime scenes for criminal investigations. So he takes a look at the video that Angel filmed. And in his reconstructed computational analysis, the expert says he has no doubt that there is a fairly high entity, like tall as fuck, 9 feet, in this footage. He says it is a certainty, with a degree of scientific certainty, that this family is not fucking lying. Roeder says the entity appears to be using some kind of smoke, quote-unquote smoke camouflage, and some camouflage that prevents it from being captured 100% by the camera, but that it is there. Now, back when this all went down, Angel, who's 17, did an interview with News Nation about the whole fucking incident. He basically said this thing was a giant alien and that he now believes he may have actually been a demon. And this is like his story. This is a fucking quote. We were in the backyard, and then out of nowhere, we saw a big light fall. The light basically fell in the yard, and a few seconds later, I saw a big, giant creature in front of me. In one of the interviews, Angel said he remembered a growling creature in the backyard, almost like a dog. He said, I was moving and breathing. I was upset, like I wanted to do something. But he actually said he felt this, like, fucking giant slash demon had control over his body. He said he couldn't even move. And they have not changed their story in the last year. They have stuck to this story. And now we have this fucking renowned crime scene dude, Scott Roeder, saying that the video footage they shot is legit. Kind of makes you wonder. We've got police dash cam corroborating this light falling from the sky. We have the family's 911 call as well as the officer's like body cam during the interview. And you can tell these motherfuckers aren't lying. They are scared as shit. Then we have the footage that Angel and his family shot. So we have three different video evidence of this whole incident. And it hasn't really been explained, like, at all. What the actual fuck happened over there, guys? I remember when it went down and I immediately believed them. I could hear the terror in their voice. I did not pick up on any lies or bullshit. And let me tell you, I got a finely tuned bullshit radar detector. Moving on to our next alien shit, we are going to talk about J-Rod, who was supposedly a captive alien that the U.S., I guess, went and picked up, fucking kidnapped, whatever you want to call it, after a craft crashed in Kingsman, Arizona. Kind of let's go back and start from the beginning. On May 19th, 1953, a series of nuclear tests under the codename Upshot Knothole took place in Yucca Flat, Nevada. Witnesses actually reported seeing a disc-shaped object rapidly descending from the sky and disappearing into the mountains just south of Las Vegas. Check this part out, guys. 2 days later, the government decided to assemble a team of scientists to investigate the fall of this UFO. Kingsman, Arizona, just for clarification, is about 150 miles south of these nuclear tests they were doing in Yucca Flat, Nevada. Apparently, 40 engineers were transported from Phoenix to Kingman, and they did this all undercover, dead of night, that kind of shit. Once they got to the crash site, they discovered a disc-shaped craft that was roughly about 36 feet in diameter. These scientists and engineers were actually kind of surprised because the craft was still intact and there wasn't even scratches on it. The story goes, engineers also found four extraterrestrial beings. The government then transported the ship and the aliens to Groom Lake, which is now known as Area 51. So remember, guys, this is like back in the fucking 50s. Now check this part out. This is where it kind of gets interesting. A few days ago, Christopher Mellon, former deputy secretary of the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency in the Clinton and George W. Bush admins. He also served as chief of staff of the Selected Intelligence Committee of the United States Senate. He basically is saying that a senior government official gained crucial insights into the management structure and security control systems of an apparent UFO recovery program. This person, this fucking senior government whistleblower, was confirming all the information that had slowly been leaking out about the UFO incident in Kingman. Christopher Mellon is actually posting this shit on Twitter, so go read his shit if you want to go down the rabbit hole. In some of the posts on Christopher Mellon's Twitter account, he basically has screenshots of different online conversations as well as pictures of documents. Some of the information is redacted, it's like blacked out. I think a lot of it has to do with these whistleblowers' names. I'm going to read you a little excerpt of one of these posts. It says, "At the moment, we have not gone that far. We are dealing with the recovered UFO that landed in Kingman, Arizona in the 50s. We are gathering information as, redacted, processes it. We now know that the management structure and security control systems, as well as the ownership of the crashed retrieval. We also know who recovers UFOs that land or fall and under which authorities. We know that a still highly secret memo from a U.S. Air Force secretary in the 50s is still in place to maintain the UFO cover-up." The next part's kind of redacted. It just kind of says, "We also identified Senior Executive Service 2, which is the guardian of the Air Force. And this name is also censored, but it was provided to Congress." Mellon has a blog, and he said, "By respect for the confidentiality of the author, I have kept this message for several years. I also removed parts of the document to protect the identity of the author. However, I recently obtained written permission from the author to disclose it. In addition, the document was approved for public release by the Defense Office of Pre-Publication and Security Review. My goal in publishing this document amidst general government denials about the possession of extraterrestrial technology is simply to help others understand why some, including myself, have been left behind. They think these allegations deserve to be investigated." Let's dive a little bit deeper, though, into J-Rod, the fucking alien survivor of this crash. Supposedly, J-Rod apparently worked directly with the U.S. government for years to reverse engineer alien technology. Captain and engineer Bill Uhouse, who's a former Navy pilot who later worked for the U.S. Air Force testing experimental aircraft, stated that he did not just study the Kingman UFO, but that he also had direct contact with J-Rod while working at Area 51 in the 1960s. J-Rod was described as a highly intelligent being who communicated with humans and provided scientific and engineering advice. That engineer, Bill Uhouse, confirmed that there was a crash of an alien craft near Kingman, Arizona in 1953, and initially four of these aliens survived, but two were, I guess, really fucked up and weak from the accident, and two survived. Uhouse said these two survivors were taken to an unspecified medical facility. He also claimed that a recovery team who entered the craft to inspect it mysteriously fell ill. The craft was then loaded onto a trailer and taken to the Nevada test site north of Vegas. According to Bill Uhouse, he says this whole crash, all these events surrounding the Kingman UFO crash, eventually resulted in a project that employed him to design and build a flight simulator that aviators could use to learn how to fly a disc. Like a fucking flying saucer. Bill claimed to have known from there J-Rod, who apparently oversaw this project. Bill claimed that's actually how he met J-Rod, this whole project making the flight simulator. Bill also says he had worked at both Los Alamos and Area 51. And Bill is not the only whistleblower on this whole Kingman thing. The other one is a microbiologist named Dan Beerish. He's also claimed to have worked with J-Rod. He said his primary responsibility was to ensure the health of this alien dude. According to Uhouse and Bursch, J-Rod was housed in a specially designed underground chamber at Area 51. That kind of sounds like a fucking dungeon, if you ask me. Dan Beerish was a microbiologist who worked at the Naval Intelligence Agency and Defense Intelligence. He says he was also sent to work at a facility called S4, and that was located at Area 51. Apparently, he conducted research with skin tissue samples from J-Rod. Dan said that he and J-Rod lived very well together. Dan also said that him and J-Rod became close friends. Is this like some, Stockholm Syndrome shit going on here? Now check out this part. It's really fucking interesting. J-Rod is stating that he is not an alien, but that he is a human from the future. J-Rod explained that due to a catastrophic event in the future, such as the displacement of the North and South Poles, he had to leave Earth due to the collapse of the inner layer of the Earth and a deadly meteorite shower. J-Rod said the Earth was so devastated that more than half the population was killed, and the survivors were forced to abandon it. Over time, due to environmental changes, the human body had been altered. J-Rod also went on to claim that he returned from the future to retrieve one of the lowest genetic factors, namely DNA that had been lost by humans. It was a kind of coding that had been eliminated from the body, but it was present in, like, you know, our time frame, I guess. Now check out this part. This is like some fucking crazy far shit out there. Who fucking knows if it's true? So Dan said, after the project was completed, him and J-Rod were sent to Egypt, where a Stargate was built using secret human technology. I'm not so sure about this fucking Dan guy. I mean, a lot of people say he's legit, but I don't fucking know. But it would seem that all these recent confirmations from this Mellon dude would kind of point to, hey, maybe this Kingman shit did go down. But you never know. Now it's time to go down a little WikiLeaks rabbit hole. If you go to Reddit, they actually have a sub. It's r/WikiLeaks. And this post was put there about 20 hours ago. The description is, Julian Assange was being fed evidence of the true 9/11 perpetrators in London from a former White House aide and some veterans who were then murdered. Now, whoever made this post, Slinky69er, says they can't tell the full story here without being censored. That would be because Reddit is a fucking cesspool of censorship. But anyway, let's go on. This person says it's all been laid out at legaljunkies.com in the, quote, La News of the forum section. The communications channel used back in 2010 and 2020, and it's no longer available since three murders took place. Check this out. Strap your fucking tinfoil hats on, fools. And just like a little side note, this is actually the first I've ever read about any of this stuff. If you go over to the legaljunkies.com website, there is a post that states, who are Fazil Shannon, Gordon Duff, John Wheeler, Bruce Garcia, and what is their connection to Julian Assange and 9/11? The post begins saying that Fazil is the reason Jack Wheeler's body was found in a garbage dump and why Barry Jennings was also murdered and why Bruce Garcia was left to die in China and why Gordon Duff is censored all over the internet. So side note, Jack Wheeler is the aide, the White House aide I was just telling you guys about. You know, the one that Beckon was leaking all this shit to Julian Assange while he was in London. A little more about Jack John Wheeler. He was close friends with George Bush and a White House aide, but formerly the top SEC investigator of insider trading who despised Dick Cheney and had the evidence to lock him away, not only for Enron, but for shorting the American and United Airlines the week before September 11th. Huh, that's not fucking suspicious. Gordon Duff is a former Marine intelligence officer who compiled the evidence of the five dancing Israelis, the explosives at George Washington Bridge, and the Israeli art students of 9/11, and the Fort Lee connection to 9/11. He also obtained an unedited video of the missile hitting the Pentagon on 9/11, not a fucking airplane. Barry Jennings was a 9/11 Ground Zero survivor witness who gave televised statement that he heard multiple explosions, which is typical of a controlled demolition. Barry was given a gag order and forbidden to go on radio and TV talk shows. Then he was murdered shortly thereafter. Bruce Garcia, I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce that dude's name, is a military vet with a 30-year history of whistleblowing who wrote a book about 12 government and 3 corporate crimes, totaling more than $2 billion, but had the manuscript seized by the FBI. He met a Mossad agent named Fazil Shannon, you know the motherfucker we were just talking about, being hidden in Canadian custody. FBI D5 agents arranged for him to be locked away incommunicado in a Chinese prison to die. Some or all of the people I just talked about communicated with each other, Julian Assange, Ted Gunderson, or Mike Rupert, the latter of whom supposedly committed suicide too. These fucking people, I swear to God. A fun little side note, Gordon Duff, Jesse Ventura, and Geraldo Rivera already fully debunked the airplane hoax and leaked a video of the missile hitting the Pentagon. I've seen this fucking video and 100% I am convinced this is a missile. This is not a fucking airplane. A lot of people that have read this article on legaljunkies.com, they're kind of making comments like, why didn't Assange expose this shit hella days ago? You know, why didn't he do it while he was free? And I think an interesting answer to that is this is a fucking massive case. There was fucking hella people murdered, hella corrupt individuals involved in it all. So it's kind of like trying to fit together a massive fucking puzzle. And you can't just like come out and be like, hey, this is what I think. Obviously, people want evidence. And there was that one little pesky detail, you know, the whole Assange being fucking detained for like the last decade or whatever the fuck it is. And a fun little side note, the BBC actually announced World Trade Center Building 7 collapsed 23 minutes before it actually did. I've done a few episodes on September 11th, and I 100% believe it was an inside job. I definitely think the Israelis were involved in it and our own fucking corrupt-ass government. There's just so much evidence out there pointing to an inside job. It's absolutely amazing to me that the general public still think this was some fucking Afghan dude planning some shit from a cave and, you know, the whole fucking black box on these planes got destroyed, but not the fucking passports. It's just so much bullshit. And if you go back and look at the videos of that day on September 11th, you can fucking see these explosions going off like a controlled demolition. So again, I ask, will any of these motherfuckers behind this plot to destroy the World Trade Center be held accountable? Probably not. A bunch of dirty ass people made billions of dollars off the entire incident surrounding September 11th. all the quote-unquote elite people that either worked in the towers, they weren't there that day. They were sick, or they went out to lunch, or they were running late. So I don't know, guys. Look into the evidence of September 11th, and if you actually look deep enough, it becomes painfully clear that this was not perpetrated by fucking Osama bin Laden. It was most likely Israel's Mossad and the dirty motherfuckers working in our government to destroy our country from within. We even have former FBI agents saying that 9/11 hijackers had US-based support. And this FBI agent, Danny Gonzalez, said at least two of the 9/11 hijackers probably had a US-based support network. Apparently, Gonzalez worked on Operation Encore, which is the still secret investigation into the two Saudi hackers who were based in San Diego. Gonzalez told CBS News he's confident the records of the operation will show the hijackers had help. A fun little side note about all this shit, there were FBI whistleblowers that confirmed that World Trade Center Building 7 had all the criminal files for an SEC insider trading and IRS tax evasion cases on Cheney, Clinton, Soros, and many other high rollers. Yeah, they just fucking blew the shit up and killed a bunch of Americans and used that as the pretext to start some fucking ridiculous ass war on terrorism, global war on terrorism. Then just for us to fucking bitch out of Afghanistan, leave billions of fucking dollars in equipment behind, totally desert our interpreters and other people that helped us, other Afghans and different Pakistani nationals that helped the United States. So I'm sure, yeah, they probably got fucking murdered and their family tortured, some shit like that. But it's kind of like I always say, our government is going to run rapid and be fucking cunts until we stop them. All right, you guys, that's about it for this week's episode. Before I get out of here, I have to say what's up to our top three downloading states, which are California, Oklahoma, and Virginia. What's up, Oklahoma? Happy to see you in the top three. You too, Virginia. As far as our international downloaders, we've got the UK in first, Canada, Australia, then Romania. That's what's up, you guys. Come over to my Reddit sub, which is r/vanishedinthevalley. Drop me a line, or you can email me at vanishedinthevalley@gmail.com. But until next week, you guys, be aware, and don't forget your fucking pepper spray. Ciao, ciao. Are you lost?